love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. TFG1 Mike here from the Geekcast Radio Network. And here on Tooncast Beyond's 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas, we're going to take a little brief stroll down memory lane to Tooncast Classic Episode 30, The Holiday Show. Back then, in 2009, I had asked various people to send in voicemails of what Christmas specials they liked and whatever else. And because this is a Charlie Brown's Christmas here in day 20 of the first annual Tooncast Beyond, 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas, I wanted to go back and I wanted to grab the old Pecan Court Michael voicemail. So, from the original episode 30 of Tooncast Classic. So, here you go. After that, we'll jump into Charlie Brown's Christmas tree after this.
Hi, this is a message for the Tooncast Holiday Show. This is Clark, a.k.a. Red Random Hero. And my favorite Christmas special of all time is A Charlie Brown Christmas. I love that show ever since I was little, and I'll keep loving it. Even the Scrubs version they did, I still love it. And my other favorite is the How the Grinch Stole Christmas and the classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. My least favorite is, well, I don't have a least favorite. It's just I never got into Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. But, you know, my other favorite, I just remembered, is a Garfield Christmas. That's my best, too. So, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Bye.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This is Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. And I'm calling in for Tooncast. You wanted memories of my favorite Christmas cartoon? Well, recently, thanks to the Nostalgia Critic, I rediscovered the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special. Man, what a shitload of crap. I can't even begin to describe that. But upon watching it last year, I discovered one of the best lines of all time, said by Skeletor,
"But I like fighting! Yeah!"
And it's just incredibly amusing. So I thought I'd call in and share that. Other than that, I really can't think of a lot of other ones that had Christmas specials, at least from my era. I'm thinking, why was there never a Captain Power Christmas special? But anyway, if you want to see a really, really, really cool list, go over to thatguywiththeglasses.com. Check out Doug's, the Nostalgia Critic himself's, top 11 Christmas specials and his top 12 Christmas specials from last year, but definitely his She-Ra, He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special. Definitely worth checking out. So anyway, guys, make sure you're tuning in to ThisWeekInGeek.net, and as I'm often fond of saying, live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys around the show next time. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve Megatron Phillips, and yes, I am calling in for the Tooncast Christmas special in reply to TFG1 Mike's post on his blog. I'd have to say my favorite Christmas movie, cartoon-wise anyway, of all time, I'd have to say is The Year Without a Santa Claus. I'd have to say that movie because it's actually really... Really, really fun to watch. You get a lot of interaction between the characters. You get to see what it's like for them to visit Mother Nature, the Miser Brothers, which to me are the best part of the whole clip. I love especially the Freeze Miser, which those two actually spawned a second movie about. But yeah, I'd have to say that it's one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. I couldn't go really a year without watching that one. Next to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and, of course, The Grinch. More of the traditional Christmas movies. But yeah, I'd have to say that is one of the best ones I've seen to date. I just like the whole perspective it takes, as if, you know, he's sick, he takes a holiday. But yeah, anyways, that's all I was calling to say. That's a good movie or a good show to watch. Check it out. It's on DVD. I think you can buy it in a six pack or something at the store. Pretty cheap, with like Rudolph and various other Christmas movies. Anyway, this is Steve Megatron Phillips signing off.
Hello, this is Michael Wilson, also known as Pecan Court Michael, on the Geekcast Radio Network. I just wanted to add my 2 cents in on the Christmas episode, primarily for the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I was watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special with my 3-year-old son, Aiden, last week, and I couldn't help but feel that I was missing something. I used to watch it every season as a kid, but I hadn't seen it in the last 15 or so years. So I might have stopped, probably around college, maybe. Just didn't watch it anymore. But now that I have kids of my own and a copy of the movie on DVD, I thought it would be a good idea to start up the tradition again. But something had changed, I think, since I had seen it when I was younger. I mean, to me, the whole thing seemed to be about the commercialism of the holiday. Charlie Brown complaining about his dog, who's only in it for the money, and his little sister, who's only in it for the cash and the gifts, despite not being old enough to write her own Christmas list. And the implication that you can't have a good Christmas without a gaudy aluminum and expensive, I'd bet, tree. Shiny tree. Shiny. It's not like rampant commercialism has hurt their bottom line. I dig the Guaraldi jazz score, so I went out a few years back and I bought the Snoopy Christmas CD. Love it. Listen to it every year. Score one for commercialism. My wife and I buy another Snoopy stuffed toy every year from Hallmark, usually on a sled or in a Santa suit or something. Score two for capitalism. And the original introduction of the show featured Linus careening off the icy pond into a Coca-Cola sign, because Coke originally sponsored the whole thing. So, three. It's a commercialism hat trick, with some irony tossed in there for good measure. Now, I wondered if the Christmas marketing blitz and subsequent merchandising started the day after Halloween in 1957, much like it does now. And that would explain things. But a lot of things were different back then when the show first aired. And maybe I'm just too old to get it now. Like Charlie Brown. I just don't get it. But look at my boy. And he's all smiles. He loves it. He liked it so much that it really forced me to look and see, you know, what it was that he was seeing. And he helped me to remember what I loved most about the show. Snoopy. Snoopy dragging Linus's blanket on the skating pond and sending Charlie Brown into a tree. Snoopy decorating his house with tons of lights and stuff, whatever those things were. And Snoopy dancing at the play with everyone else while they were all ignoring Charlie Brown's direction. And Snoopy, again, laughing at Charlie Brown's ridiculous tree. You gotta love that Melinda's laugh. Yeah, I do. I love Snoopy. I love Snoopy still to this day. And although I'm older now and I have a firmer grasp of the anti-capitalist agenda of the show, I still find myself drawn in. Railing against a cash-driven society is just a means to close with a reminder of the reason for the season. And that's a lesson that I'll gladly pass on to my boys. So I'll probably watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special every year from now on, or at least until my youngest son goes off to college. Thanks a lot. It was good being here. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, Smokey, roll 'em.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
It's Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Gang preparing to spend another joyous holiday together. Only this year, Charlie Brown is getting a little fed up with what seems to be the new Christmas spirit.
Find the true meaning of Christmas when money.
Dear Santa Claus, just send money.
We all know that Christmas is a big commercial racket. It's run by a big Eastern syndicate, you know.
Good grief.
So Charlie Brown attempts to restore the true spirit of Christmas by buying a neglected little Christmas tree. But as is often the case with Charlie Brown...
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
It appears that this Christmas may be a sad one. That is, of course, until the rest of the gang shows good old Charlie Brown that they haven't really lost the Christmas spirit at all. A Charlie Brown Christmas.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Hello, folks. It is day 20 on Tooncast Beyond's 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas, and we are finally getting to the classics. Day 20 to day 25 will be all the classic cartoons that we know and love. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me for the second time in the first annual 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas is Pecan Croat Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. So, do they have any pecan croat pie? Sorry. It's a bad Thanksgiving joke, folks.
I love pecan pie.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I don't see how that matters.
I don't know. So, folks, it's been about 7.5 years since Tooncast Classic Episode 30, The Holiday Show. And Michael Wilson was one of the people that called in on that voicemail for that show. And you would have just heard that before this. And wow, man, it doesn't seem like you've aged a day in 7.5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You should see me now.
I know, right? Because I remember, and people would have already heard this in the voicemail, I remember you talking about at the point, I think Aiden was, what, 1 or 2?
Something like, well, no, he was 10 now.
Yeah, he's 10 now, so this was 7.5, he was 3. He was so 3 or 3.5. Yeah, Gavin would have been 1. Right. I remember, you know, you talking about how whatever else, and until you watched it with Aiden, you didn't really see the... But we're going to get into it, folks, because today we're talking about A Charlie Brown Christmas, the quintessential, the number one Christmas cartoon that everybody loves, except Michael Wilson.
I love it. I remember watching it when I was tiny.
Yeah?
When I was Aiden's age, yeah. Yeah, we were really young.
Oh, boy. Really, really young.
Really, really
young. Really, 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 really young. Oh, Lord.
I can't even tell you how young I was.
As far back as
I can remember.
Yeah, as far
that's
back
pretty
as
young.
I can remember. Yeah, that's very young. So, yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas. This one, I have kind of a... I really do enjoy it. I do very much think it's a quintessential Christmas classic. I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that my mom's not here anymore or anything like that, and that's still kind of raw since it only happened a year ago, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I just can't get into this as much as I used to.
I see it differently, too.
Well, yeah, you see it differently, too, because you have kids, and you see it through their eyes.
Goes beyond that. I mean, I've seen it through their eyes. I mean, I remember seeing it when I was little. And I remember, you know, we'd watch it with, like, Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman and the staples, right?
Yep.
And now I've watched it with my boys, and they've grown up with it because we watch it every year. We have it on DVD. And right. Now at this point, I'm just kind of jaded, and I'm starting to see it for what it, you know, really is. You know, because it came out in 1965. It came from a bygone era that we don't even identify with anymore.
Yeah, that's... Well, the whole point of A Charlie Brown Christmas is to basically screw commercialism. That's the whole point.
Down with Santa.
Yeah. It's the great pumpkin that brings everybody presents. Everybody knows that. Come on now!
Well, did you notice that there's no Santa?
Yeah, there is no Santa.
There's no Santa. Notice there's no Santa, and it's sad because it's like, what's wrong with capitalism?
Mm-hmm.
Was Schultz a Marxist? I don't get it. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know the backstory here, but I get the impression that, you know, he was either a born-again Christian who hated capitalism, or a Marxist. He was a dirty commie. I mean, I just don't know. Maybe he was blacklisted in 65 by the, you know, what do they call them? The McCarthyists. I wish I knew more about the history of how this came together. I just don't.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know either. And
yeah.
When you say Marxist, well,
are you currently trying to find it on the Wikipedia?
No.
You hear that pause in your voice?
No. When you say Marxist, and I know what you're talking about, I know what you're.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Actually, meaning when you say that, the sad thing is all I can think of is friggin' Richard Marx and all the stupid love songs he used to do.
Richard Marx, you know, most people, Groucho kicks in, you know?
Yeah, most people Groucho.
Most people
I
get
guess.
The Groucho marks, you know. Yeah, I know. I get where you're coming from, but
I guess
you know,
I'm just right here waiting, people.
oh, that was bad. Oh, all right. You deserve that.
Oh shit. Damn.
Just gonna let you suffer for a second. Think about what you did.
I'm dying over here.
Judicious use of mute.
It's kind of hard to use the judicious use of mute when I'm spitting up all over myself.
We now pause for a shower.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, considering my comedy night, my Starscream This Is Bad Comedy Night shirt from Ripped Apparel is now all wet. Oh, nice. God. At least it ended up on my shirt and not my keyboard.
Yes. That's better.
Yes, that's better.
So here's a question now. Charlie Brown, in the beginning of the show, is clearly... He's clinically depressed.
He's very dismayed at the whole commercialism of Christmas.
Yeah, so at this point, he actually says, I think I'm depressed. And I'm like, dude, they're going to put you in a rubber room.
Yeah.
Minus says, of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie
Browniest.
It's like, so Charlie Brownie is clinically depressed? Is that how that equates itself? They would put him on volume in 1965.
Oh, my God.
Give him a... I mean, this is before Adderall, that type of thing. You know, they'd be like, here you go, kid. Let's get you stoned. But this is what kids did before the internet, right? You know, they're catching snowflakes and they're throwing rocks at cans. I did not even remember the throwing rocks at cans scene.
Yeah, I didn't either.
They're operating unlicensed psychiatric practices.
Advice.
This is what you did in 65 when you're bored, right?
Yeah, advice, 5 cents.
5 cents. It's pretty cheap, technically. And she knows her stuff, too, because she's listing off this huge list of phobias.
Yep.
Charlie Brown isn't in fear of anything. He's just downtrodden.
Yes, very, very downtrodden. Well, you know, here's the thing.
by the end of this, Charlie Brown does come around. But in the beginning of this, Charlie Brown, he's pretty much a Grinch or a Scrooge or whatever you want to call him, because he's just so dismayed at all of the various, as we've been saying, commercialism of the holiday thing. And even his sister Sally,
she wants Christmas to come in 10s and 20s.
Yeah.
She's got daddy issues.
You know what the sad thing is?
What's that?
Is that in high school, one of my senior classmates had said for a graduation gift, all he wanted was a duffel bag filled with 50s and 100s.
Yeah, exactly.
And this was 1999, folks. So,
well, yeah, the denominations went up, right? It goes from 10s to 20s to 50s and 100s because it's inflation.
Yeah.
You know, we had to survive the 80s in Reaganomics, so it's got to be 50s and 100s now.
I'd rather survive Reaganomics than go through another Lewinsky blowjob.
Oh, dude, you know... All right, anyway, I'm not going to get political here. All night if we start talking about politics. This is 2016 is not a good year to be talking about politics.
No.
Dancing. Let's talk about dancing.
With the stars.
No, with the Peanuts gang. Because honestly, this is the most iconic scene perhaps ever set to film. Is when they're all on the stage and dancing, and they all have their own little kind of weird makeshift dance. And
that's true.
They've never seen Soul Train, so because it hasn't been invented yet, so they're just kind of like wobbling back and forth. But no, this scene is often imitated.
Mm.
Never topped, but often imitated. And each character gets a part in the play.
Yep.
And you know, each of these characters were well-known Peanuts characters up until, I'm going to guess, until about the 80s when this became a Snoopy-only comic.
Yeah.
Because Schultz was drawing was it daily or weekly script?
The Sunday Funnies, that was weekly.
Yeah, he was doing that up until he died.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah, toward the end there, it was pretty much just Snoopy.
Yeah.
Snoopy's immediate family. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But this one, I think, in some of the Peanuts specials, I have one or two favorite lines. Obviously, okay. The beginning of a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. I'm going to kick that football clear to the moon. Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just kind of fade away? You know, you've got all that. And then with the Great Pumpkin, you've got, I could have gone tricks or treating. I could have gone out and got tricks or treats and you owe me restitution. You know, Sally to Linus for the whole Great Pumpkin thing. With this one, it's Snoopy and Lucy. Ah, dog germs. Get some deodorant. Get some disinfectant. I love that. I just love that. I just absolutely love that line. I think that line is one of the best lines of the show.
Boil some water.
Yeah. Get some disinfectant.
Get some disinfectant.
That's what she says.
That's right.
And
you know what's funny too is growing up I was kind of worried about dog germs because of that show. Like, would I get dog germs? And you know, everyone says that dogs have cleaner mouths than humans.
Well, so you should know at this point. You have like 10 dogs at your house.
No, I got 2 dogs, and only one that bites me. So
wait, which one bites you?
Well, you know, Dargo, his show of affection is to chomp on my arm a little bit. You know, he's just telling me how much he loves me. You know, he's licking me with his arms.
So the first dog you guys ever got sits there and gnaws on your arm.
No, just when he's happy to see me, he'll run up and go, hi, hi, and I'll pet him, and he'll chew on me. It doesn't hurt. You
know. Humans are the new dog chew toy. Wow.
I am the dog chew toy. I must taste delicious.
I guess that dog is tired of the begging strips.
I am the begging strip.
Oh, God. Story of
my life. So... All right, anyway, I was changing subject. I was trying to transition. Unsuccessfully, I might add. But something about Schroeder. Schroeder plays the piano, right?
Yep.
So he and Lucy are having this conversation where they're talking about the piano. He's playing, but he's playing on this little toy piano. He's playing the music, this iconic Snoopy Christmas music, which was originated by Vince Guaraldi.
Yep.
So it's like, is Schroeder's last name Guaraldi?
No.
I honestly don't know what Schroeder's. For all I know, Schroeder is his last name, and his first name is like Tim. Like Tim Schroeder or something. I have the Vince Guaraldi Trio soundtrack.
So do I, yep.
Oh, really? Yeah, I play it every year at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So when we have family over, it's on the CD player, like on repeat.
All right, so Schroeder. He's a fictional, long-running character. First
that tone of voice that tells me you're reading the wiki.
Comic strip, shut up. You're not supposed to say that crap. You're not supposed to reveal the hidden magic of podcasting.
The innards of the sausage, I'm sorry.
He doesn't... It doesn't really say that he has a last name. It just gives his name as Schroeder.
We're going to call him Guaraldi. He's very Italian. The first blonde Italian kid.
Wow. He must have had German parents. Oops, sorry.
See, Kyle. Better get used to that now that Trump's president.
Oh, now see why you gotta.
Sorry. Okay. It just came out.
Yeah. Uh huh. All right. I'm sorry, folks. Day 20 here in the Tooncast Beyond 25 Days of Christmas. We were supposed to be talking about this Christmas cartoon, and we've gotten more political in this cartoon than we've done in all year long. Wow.
Okay. I'm going to transition quickly back to the cartoon then.
Yes.
Fake metal trees. I've never understood the fake metal tree. They actually walk up to this pink tree, donk, 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 and it like sounds like he's banging on the ductwork, right?
Yeah.
Were fake metal trees a thing in the 60s? Alive in the 60s, I wouldn't know, but...
Yeah, you were born 13 years too... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I get 8 years after this, so...
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've never seen a picture of a fake metal tree. I can't imagine a fake metal tree. I've seen pink trees, and, like, you know, they've colored trees before, but they weren't made out of metal, they were plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, all the non-green, all the other non-traditional colors of Christmas trees, whether they be fake or real, because I really don't think anybody would spray paint their Christmas, their real Christmas tree pink.
Well, that would kill it immediately. You know, yeah. It would be a fake tree to begin with. I like fake trees. But Charlie Brown, being a Marxist... avoids the capitalistic fake metal tree,
yes,
and goes straight for this anemic twig.
Yes.
Makes no sense. Because he hates capitalism. He's like, you know what? I'm not paying money back into the system.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie Brown, you are the Charlie Browniest. You really are. I mean, right. And then the whole thing of at the end, the fellowship and the friendship and the love makes the tree grow three sizes that day.
You know, I don't.
It's a Grinch joke, damn it!
It is. That's right. You had to tie in Chuck Jones somehow, right?
Absolutely. Why not?
You know, if Chuck Jones directed this, it would have been a different show
altogether. Absolutely.
It would have been completely different. I don't buy that. I don't buy the fact that their love makes everything grow, because what they do here beforehand, they commit the cardinal sin. A man's worst fear is being laughed at. A man would rather be attacked and killed than laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone laughs at Charlie Brown. Even his dog laughs. And then they leave him there, humiliated. Now, how he's not in tears, you know, on the ground crying, I don't understand. But, you know, the scene is so sad that we don't even mind the religious lecturing that comes right after it.
Mm-hmm.
because that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Because he asks if anyone really knows what Christmas is all about, and then Linus, standing alone on the stage, states that he can tell him and recites the Annunciation to the shepherd scene from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14.
Mm-hmm. He gets up there in his pulpit and announces that Santa Claus is not the reason for the season. It is indeed found somewhere in the Bible.
So, Linus is
Santa Claus.
Linus is now a priest.
Linus is taking up the cloth.
Linus cannot marry Sally.
That's right. He had his blanket turn into a... Oh, hell. I was going to say habit, but that's what... What do they call that thing?
Ladies and gentlemen...
collar.
Yeah, the collar.
Not the collar. It's a thing that... It's kind of like a shawl. A scarf-looking thing.
Oh, God. So you just said it's like a scarf.
Yeah.
Recently, and I know you probably don't watch this at all, so you probably won't make a chuckle out of this, but recently, Chris Jericho on Monday Night Raw for WWE and wrestling. I know, I understand. Well, part of his gimmick is that he always wears a scarf. And one of the gimmicks that he wanted to do for Survivor Series this year was have all of his teammates wear a scarf. And everybody kept going to him and say, I'm sorry, Chris, I'm just not a scarf guy. And he cocks his head, not a scarf guy? How can you not be a scarf guy?
Who doesn't like scarves?
Yeah, that's almost what he said, and you don't even watch it.
What's wrong with you? You're not scarf wearing, dude. Come on, man. Yep. Everybody likes scarves. But yeah, if Linus were to grow up and take the cloth, he would have turned his blanket, his whoobie, into the scarf that you hang over the shoulders, that you don as you perform your benedictions and such.
Yes. And really, this is at the end of this, and I don't know, we've been joking about this and that kind of thing, but at the end of this, when Linus puts his little blankie at the bottom of the tree for a tree skirt, they then go to Snoopy's house and basically steal all of his stuff.
He already won the contest, so...
I know!
I wonder how much he got. It said cash prizes at the beginning.
I don't know.
All right, ornament contest, right? Decoration contest and cash prizes. So he got something.
Yeah, he got something.
You
got
to think he's lining the inside of his little doghouse there with 10s and 20s.
I love Snoopy and Woodstock. I love Snoopy, and this, as I've already said, I think it's... Yeah. One of his best performances outside of the World War One Flying Ace. And like I said before, the whole interaction with him and Lucy is just hilarious. I got kissed by dog lips.
I love the scene. I love the scene where he's dancing on the piano.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of look at him and the song stops and he's like, tough crowd, that he kind of slinks away.
Yeah.
I mean, I was happy that there wasn't like an interlude like in the Halloween special where he sneaks off and does the soft with camel thing against the Red Baron. I mean, I like that. That's cute, but I feel like it would have been out of place here.
Mm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, again, they tie, you know. Because this was the first special they ever did for television. Mm-hmm. So this came, then I think Halloween, then Thanksgiving. I could be wrong on that. But they tie Snoopy into whatever the theme is, obviously, with Halloween and dressing up and World War One Flying Ace, Thanksgiving. He and Woodstock are pilgrims. Mm-hmm. And all is now I can think of is friggin' Adam's Family Values, and Wednesday is the
they made from real Girl Scouts.
Ew. Oh Lord.
Which part of the Girl Scout exactly?
Stop. Please stop.
So to wrap up, as we were saying, I just watched this tonight with my boys.
Yeah.
Because we have the Christmas special DVD.
Uh-huh.
And you watch basically half an hour, 20 minutes, right, without commercials, of Charlie Brown railing against capitalism and his hatred of commercialism. And the next episode was It's Christmas Time Again, Charlie Brown, where he goes door to door selling Christmas wreaths in order to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else is railing against him, saying that he's a sellout because he's now a pawn of capitalism and he's bowed to commercialism. And even his sister, who 20 minutes earlier was begging for 10s and 20s, she's even telling him that he's going about everything wrong. And I thought, wow, this is just such a huge change, and it was quite clear that this wasn't written by Schultz. This was written 15, 20 years later.
Yeah.
By some marketing shill who didn't understand the message of the original piece.
Well, again, and you can take this with a grain of salt, it does say on here that it is written by Schultz.
Okay, well then, I backtrack then. Let me go back and say, I will backpedal and say that Schultz wrote it, but he wrote it in a different frame of mind. So we're not talking about post-World War II, frame of mind here. Now we're looking at I would guess maybe post-Vietnam era mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And, I'm guessing. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the wiki will vindicate me here.
Oh, I don't think so. You hate the wiki. The wiki hates you. A couple of interesting things here about this. Number one, this had a budget of $96,000.
That was a mint back in 1965.
I know! It doesn't say what the actual box office was, because it wasn't ever... I don't think it ever really did box office. It was direct-to-TV, so...
Yeah.
But the budget was $96,000, and like you said, in 1965, that was a mint.
$1 million.
Yes, $1 million. A bajillion, million, frillion dollars. The other interesting part about this has to do with the cast. And it's kind of a tragedy here, more so than anything else. But, Charlie Brown...
Because it was performed in 65, which means everyone who is in it is dead now?
Is he dead? I don't know. No, he's still alive. Robbins, okay. Peter Robbins, the voice of Charlie Brown. He was born Louis Nanasi, August 10th, 1956. He's 60 years old.
Holy cow.
Charlie Brown is 60 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And he still gets rocks.
This poor guy.
So here's the thing with Peter Robbins. And this is a sad thing. Charlie Brown, since about 2013, has had a lot of legal trouble.
Oh, no.
The guy is in jail. Charlie Brown's in jail, folks. December 7th of last year, he was sentenced to 4 years and 8 months in prison as part of a plea agreement for sending threatening letters to his wife and to the manager of the mobile home park in which he lived in Oceanside, California.
Oh, no. This is... Say it ain't so.
And apparently, Robbins has stated in previous hearings that he suffers from bipolar disorder and paranoid schizophrenia.
Who doesn't nowadays? Just saying.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's terrible. I can't,
Have you seen...
This is an iconic role.
Yes.
And we should, pay attention to this with the seriousness that it's due.
Right.
I suppose.
Yeah. Right.
Lay sigh.
What is this, a Pepe Le Pew cartoon? What are you doing over there? What is that? Get the balloon out of your hand. Stop it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's styrofoam. I'm
quit playing with your toys.
I'm unpacking. Damn it. I should have put this on mute. I'm unpacking a cyber power adaptive sine wave uninterruptible power supply.
All right, that's going to be on the cutting room floor. So yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Brown, shut up, stop laughing, or else no one will get the joke.
Sorry.
So yes, folks, Charlie Brown, Peter Robbins in real life, has had some really, really bad legal troubles over the past years, and, you know, for a 60-year-old guy in jail, that doesn't really speak a whole lot about the guy. But the legacy of
honestly,
this cartoon...
if you're spending all day in a trailer park, jail can't be that much worse, right?
Wow.
I'll just say, you know, wow. You don't have that much space in a trailer. It's kind of small and confining. And
But A Charlie Brown Christmas, I do still enjoy it. It is still something I can watch every year. It is going to be always a part of my holiday traditions of watching it. Obviously, taking the point of context of when it was made and that kind of stuff and everything else. What are your, and I'm putting you on the spot here, what do your boys think of this when they watch this? Like, what are their reactions?
I don't know. I don't want to say that parts of it go over their head, but again, this was made in a time that modern children can't really identify with.
Right.
And even if it were, you know, a lot of the terminology they're using, when they start talking about commercialism, things like that, a lot of these words are just going to go over the heads of a 10-year-old. I don't think he really realizes. I mean, it's not going to get really entertaining for him until Snoopy shows up and dances on a piano.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, these are the scenes that I remember from when I was little. You know, Snoopy dancing, the Garaldi music, the what do they call it? The play when they're all dancing on the stage, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. These things resonate with me, but honestly, it isn't until I go back and watch it that I remember that this is a whole, you know, Marxist tirade against capitalism. That didn't focus with me when I was their age.
Right.
And it's probably not going to focus with them until they watch it again with their kids, which is inevitable.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe not, because, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, there was, what, 5 channels? And, right. Yeah, around Christmas time, that was all that was on for 2 days straight. And we watched it every year, just like we watched Wizard of Oz every year, because once a year, that was pretty much all that was on.
Yeah.
But now you've got 500 channels, and if you want to watch the Disney's Christmas special, you pretty much got to pull it out on DVD and deliberately sit down and watch it. So maybe my kids aren't going to remember it as fondly as I did, unless I make them watch it every year, which, you know, I'm gonna leave that decision up to them. And you guys want to watch this? I mean, this year they were like, yeah! So we all sat down and ate dinner and watched Charlie Brown. But are they going to want to do that every year? I don't know. It's up to them.
Yeah, that's very, very true. All right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. Tomorrow on day 21, we're going to steal all the presents and Christmas and roast beasts in Whoville. So, yes, we're all going to become Grinches tomorrow.
I'm already a Grinch.
Don't I know it?
That's my secret. I'm always Grinchy.
Grinchy is as Grinchy does. So, we're going to get the heck out of here. Where can people find you online, sir?
I'm on Twitter and Facebook at PeconCTMichael.
All right. You can find me at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. Follow at Tooncast Beyond for the show on Twitter. Go to geekcastradio.com where all our podcasts will be. And we will catch you tomorrow as we try to make all of our hearts grow 3 sizes that day.
That's what she said.
Ew.
Something grew 3 sizes.
Yeah.
Oh, more damn it. Sitting room floor.
No, I'm leaving that in.
To hell with that. I already have to do way too much editing at this point. Screw that.
That our somethings grew three sizes that day. All those emails finally paid off.
Oh my god, no you didn't.
Unsolicited spam mail.
Oh my god, no you did not just do that.
I knew that someday, somehow, those penis enlargement emails would come in handy. Something grew three sizes that day.
An email can enlarge a penis? Wow. Who needs pills when you have email? Only if you're
I printed them all out and then shredded them and then made a concoction of penis enlargement email stew, which I consumed with the blood of small. Anyway.
What the fuck?
I was getting ahead of myself there a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
My magic penis enlargement spell.
Oh my god, you've turned into a maniacal maniac.
Snoopy, you'll have to be all the animals in our play. Can you be a sheep? How about a cow? How about a penguin? Yes, he's even a good penguin. No, no, no! Listen, all of you. You've got to take direction. You've got to have discipline. You've got to have respect for your director. I ought to slug you. Ugh! I've been kissed